Now you've worked together for a few years, what would be some of the key things you'd like to impart to other people in other parts of the country that might be stirred and excited about working together? Yannick, can we start with you?
Yeah, hopefully it's helpful. I think one of the reasons why we've been able to work together in ways that have been helpful is actually just the similarities between us. So we said a bit about, I guess, differences in other videos, but similar kind of convictions and similar kind of philosophy of ministry, like what ministry is about and what the heart of it is. And I think because of that, it's easy to challenge one another and to receive that well. I think sometimes when you're partnering together and someone's from just very different kind of philosophy of ministry, it's easy to just write it off because it's just like, you're just in a completely different, you're just thinking about this in completely different ways. And so there is a lot of diversity. Our churches are very, very different. But I think there is a shared kind of idea of what ministry is about. And what's central to that I think has enabled us to partner well and has meant that, yes, talking to these guys is always a blessing and it's helpful, it's challenging for me as I think through, whether it's preaching or what we're doing at our churches, I'm challenged by it partly because I know we're seeking to do the same thing, even if we're doing it in a very different context. And so I just think that's something that's helpful as you are thinking through how to partner well. Obviously, there's broader networks. There's always going to be broader things. But in terms of maybe a smaller kind of thing, I think, at least in this case, I think it's been helpful that actually just similar kind of convictions about ministry have helped to make it fruitful.
I guess that wasn't immediately evident. It kind of grew through the relationship and actually through working together. Mm-hmm. You were doing a thing called Westminster at One. Mm-hmm. I guess that fast-tracked that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, you don't want to give the impression that we're sort of working together on these massive projects.
Right.
That we're like, we really don't see each other a huge amount. It isn't that we're kind of deeply embedded in each other's ministries. There's just a friendship and a love for each other and a respect. Like Yannick says, I think we trust each other completely. Such that we can challenge each other on things. Hey, why that? And not worry about that, because underlying it, there's a trust.
Is there a chemistry thing in that, John?
Yeah, there is. And I think that's right. And it is, I think probably what we do is we think we should be in partnership. So let's have a thing that we partner on. So we go very quickly to the project or to the, let's do something together. I think our experience, we haven't done much together. The three of us meet to listen to each other's sermons and to give each other sermon feedback. We haven't done anything together as churches yet, I'm sure we will. But that's grown out of the friendship. And these are the guys that if I'm in trouble, I'll be in touch with. You know, I'll say, I need some advice, I need some help, I'm struggling.
So did you go about forming, for want of a word, the partnership, however loose it is, quite intentionally, or did it just happen through your friendships and involvement in ministry?
I don't remember. I mean, we were naturally, so when we planted Hope Church, we planted from Globe Church. Previously, I'd been, when I was at Bible College, I was up in Enfield and was part of Bushill Park, where Johnsy was the pastor before planting Globe Church. So we already had a good connection there. And I think when I was there as a student, there was a good enough relationship there that we felt like if God opened the door for something to happen in the future, I'd be excited about that. And I hope Johnsy would have been excited about that. So that was quite natural. We did Westminster at One together. So I'm basically the glue that holds
us right.
together. And we did Westminster on together and got on well together. And then I guess you guys were talking about, you were involved in Stockwell stuff in those conversations anyway. So I think it was probably relatively organic. And then probably, and it wouldn't have been me, but probably Jonty said at some stage, hey, why don't we get together, the three of us? And so it was organic, but then it needed a sort of, okay, this is, we're not just going to do this organically. Let's have a thing that we do. And then that became essentially our meeting together to go through sermons with a desire that, and even that first time we met together, just went through sermons, and then there was a conversation around, hey, what might this be? Let's start with this, but let's see where this goes in the future.
And I think it's fair to say the three of us are all fairly administratively incompetent, and therefore
challenged is the word.
And therefore, so what normally happens is one of us WhatsApps and says, we haven't seen each other for a while, why don't we meet up to look at each other's sermons? Uh-huh. There's a 2-week break, because it takes each of us 2 weeks to respond.
Well, you're all at different stations waiting for each other.
Yeah. Yes. No, and then eventually, so there's it does take effort. It doesn't happen by accident. You know, so yes, it's organic, but you do then have to say, no, okay, these are two guys who I'm geographically close to, theologically close to, and people that I love and respect and want to learn from. So I want to put the effort in to intentionally invest in that.
I think if the expectations had been too high,
mm-hmm. yeah,
I would
totally.
Have gone, mm-hmm. I don't want a mm-hmm. yeah. weekly accountability mm-hmm. with these guys. I don't want
a
monthly service that we do together. I don't like, yeah. let's make sure we do this thing together each year. Like, for me, where so much of my energy has to be in Vauxhall, I need guys who can understand that, but then can support me. So, for example, the thing that these guys are doing for Good Friday, Hope Church aren't involved in. Jonty called me up, said he'd had a conversation with Yannick. They're going to move forward with doing something. He didn't think he didn't think that we would be keen on doing it, and I didn't think that either. And that's fine. Like, mm-hmm. and I think the other thing, the egos thing, I think it's helpful that I don't think we're trying to compete with each other. And I think one of those things is we're doing very different things. Yeah. But also, I think that as a culture, as guys together, even if we were doing similar things, I don't think that there would be a competitiveness. I mean, that's in our heart, isn't it, more than anything else. But I feel like when I listen to these guys' sermons, when I see their ministry, when I hear the stories, I'm encouraged by that and not... and not bitter and resentful because I'm struggling while they're thriving. We'll see how that, I guess, over time, how that works.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the foundation of it is a friendship, mm-hmm. But it can't just stay at that because you're gospel men. So it's always the gospel at the end of the day fueling that partnership causing you to kind of work together. So it ends up as a purpose, but it's not purpose driven. Underneath it is this friendship. Yannick, how would you encourage? Let's imagine somebody, say there's a black pastor down in a church in South Wales, say, who's just new to the job and so on. And he kind of listens to this video and thinks, yeah, I'd like to have that kind of web of friendships and so on. Any advice?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just helpful to see what you have first, like make use of, it might just be that there's friendships that you have that you can make better use of, right? I think sometimes you feel like you always need to go and make something new, whereas sometimes it's just making better use of what you have.
Which is what you did here in a way.
Yeah. So these were relationships we had by virtue
best
of...
Best you can manage.
that's what I have. I mean, no, I think it's just realizing, oh, actually, these are people that I do feel, there's that commonality, but they're different from me, and I need that, and it's helpful for me. And it's helpful for the church, like, ultimately. It's actually helpful for the church because... I've got crazy ideas and crazy stuff that I do, and it's helpful to have other people that can be a check against that. And so I would say, first of all, think through the kind of current relationships you have. If you are seeking to have a relationship with someone from a different background, then that would typically mean having to become involved in a group that maybe you don't naturally belong to. Because again, at least on black and white, like black church and white, they are just so different. Very few places where those kind of worlds collide. So it does involve having to be a minority in a space. But again, there's so much to learn. There's so much to benefit. I wouldn't put any pressure on it. I think to Sam's point, when you put pressure on, I'm gonna have this friendship and we're gonna partner and we're gonna do all these things, it doesn't often work well. But I think finding people that there is some kind of affinity with, people that you really respect and you feel like you can learn from, And yeah, just really see where it goes from there.
Okay, so organically, but are there plans that you have, however remote at the moment, that where you might see the three churches working together even more closely for the advance of the gospel?
Yeah, I think so. I think.
Oh, great! Tell us.
So here's the plan. No, I mean we've always chatted. I mean we're two of us are church planters. We've always chatted about the idea of if the right opportunity came up within whether within our triangle in a sense or just sort of around these areas, that it would be absolutely nuts not to do that together. I mean, it worked brilliantly planting Hope Church with the support of Globe Church. If Hope was planting again with a desire, I mean, we've got other areas around us which I'd love to in the future have other churches in on the neighbouring estate, which you know I think you can do in this community because estates are so separate from each other. And I wouldn't do that alone. I think that, you know, and we've chatted briefly about that being something we could do together. So I think as we're seeing opportunities in and around this area of London, that it makes perfect sense for the three churches to support each other. And that might be as simple as praying for one another, which is something we already do as churches, pray for each other. But it might be sending people, it might be growing leaders together, it might be a financial element and stuff. But there's all sorts of ways. But definitely, some kind of church. And I think it would be, I'd be really sad if in 5 years' time we sat and had another conversation and we weren't at a place where that had either happened or was about to happen. I think there's no reason why it shouldn't.
Yeah, and we're in different places and have different resources and different opportunities to do that. And I think understanding your different roles is really important in that. So I'm significantly older than Sam and Yannick, but there isn't that sense of seniority in the friendship, and it is very much my expectation that it will be Sam or Yannick who have an idea and a drive and a passion to do something that Globe Church will be able to get behind. But I think we've got to get away from the idea that churches like Globe are the ones that should drive everything, because actually we're not. We're the outlier. We're the unusual church that can help to provide resources. But I would much rather see these guys driving it and Hope Church and Globe Church putting its resources behind it, if that makes sense. And that's where these sorts of partnerships are really exciting, because to be honest, a lot of that energy comes from younger guys than me. I mean, I'm not old by any means, but I don't have the same drive I had when I was, 15 years ago. So I think my role is changing as I get older.
Can we just talk about the issue of roles?
Yeah.
You use the term church planter. Both of you have, in a sense, planted the churches there at Globe and at Hope. Reflections on that, John T, and the sort of what you needed to be a church planter, and as that involved? I mean, there's one sense in you immediately become the pastor, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? That. And you guys can tell me I'm wrong or chuck in ideas. But we definitely have a model at the moment, don't we, where if you plant a church, you then pastor it. Which in many cases has been wonderful, and we've seen wonderful examples of that. But my hunch is that there are some people who are really good planters who actually aren't particularly gifted pastors, that the gifts are not necessarily the same. There's an evangelistic, initiative-taking, entrepreneurial, risk-taking attitude which is brilliant at getting things started, but sometimes can actually be quite unhelpful for pastors who tend to drive their congregations very hard because they're like, come on, let's do more. Whereas actually sometimes pastors, so I guess I wonder sometimes whether there would be ways to liberate those who are planters to plant, initiate, move, plant again. I remember reading an article by Philip Jensen years ago who said, if you've planted one church, you're not a church planter, you're a church founder. Because church planters go on planting. And I I think there's some truth in that. Now that would look in different ways, but I guess what I'm saying is that knowing ourselves, it's okay to not be the omnicompetent person who has all the gifts, because we're not, no one is. And there are some people who are just brilliant pastors who could never get something started, but will grow something and they'll see how to take where it's at and move it. And I think just a little bit more freedom perhaps for us to express who, understand who we are, the gifts God's given us, and play to our strengths. Sometimes that might mean releasing people to keep planting.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about that, because the church planter has become very much church planting, sexy in vogue stuff over the last two decades.
I like to think yeah. So.
I've never heard much talked about this whole thing. Have we got many people that are, as you've described there, essentially church planters who would become restless once they've planted and become pastoring the thing? And if there is a paucity of that, why and how might it be remedied?
I agree. I think there are definitely people who are more suited towards like getting things started and then kind of moving on. But I do think there is probably something good about needing to stay as well. In other words, I think, and actually having to pastor the church you plant, I think there's some helpful things that maybe slow you down and maybe cause you to, because otherwise, I think sometimes church planter can just be, you know, here's my kind of crazy ideas about church. I want a church like this or that and that. And you can just do it without really thought of people. Like every church plant involves people, involves sacrifice, involves commitment and so on and so forth. And so my hesitancy is that would you just get a bunch of people that just set up stuff with no real care for the actual people, and then just go off and, you know, set off a
your
whole...
Your problem now, but, see you later.
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff.
So I guess I'm thinking that you plant with a pastor already.
Yes.
Alongside the planter.
Which is key, isn't it? Because the team thing's massive, isn't it?
So my
thought when you were talking, as well as thinking, is John C. trying to publicly tell me that I need to leave Hope Church and go and do something else? As well as that, my thought was that when we're talking about a pastor, we're not talking like that. That is a role within a church, as much as it's a gifting in a sense. So you're called to be a pastor. If all our planters, we're expecting them to be pastors, then they should have the qualifications needed to be a shepherd, to be an elder. But then the expectation would be that they should also have people around them.
Yeah.
And actually, if you had a team, then in a sense, one of those team, whoever it is, leaving to plant another church and to pastor that church with another team would make... So you might have people who's within a team who may have the sort of startup type gifts.
Do you think we talk a lot about church planters, but essentially we don't have in mind at all that person will go and do multiple...
Yeah, there aren't many models of that,
no,
right?
I mean, it, no.
So, and I'm not saying that everybody should, but I can't think of many models of people who really walk that path. And maybe we could be more affected if we played to people's strengths.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think people have different gifts within that. And I think I know of people who are more suited towards planting, but I do think having to stay to pastor a church is helpful in lots of ways. It does slow you down in lots of ways, because planting can sometimes be a blank canvas where you could just do whatever you want to do. And having to pastor real people does remind you that, yeah, there's people involved. There's people are a lot of sacrifice involved, a lot of commitment involved. And I think partly it's, you know, when someone's doing a church plant, people want to know the commitment level of the person planting as well.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes that's also a challenge. If someone was saying, let's go plant this church and I'll be with you for a year or two and then I'm off, you know, it might be difficult to...
Yeah, and I guess that's where you could plant in partnership, right? Wow. You could have a planter who says that I will be with you for a year or two, That's the expectation from the start. But alongside then, there is a pastor who's being set up to be there longer term. I don't know. I'm just interesting discussions to.
And that's where working in, I think, like working in teams like, yeah, pastoral teams, elderships is really key as well. So arguably any planter should be qualified as an elder. That should should be. So in some ways, even if their gifting might not be long-term pastoral ministry of one congregation, it may be that there's scope for that. That at the very least, they should be able to, they should be qualified to teach and to love the flock and to care for the flock. But if you're building an eldership, if there's a team with you, there's other gifts that might mean, whether they're paid or unpaid, it might mean that some guy, you know, one of the guys who may be more gifted towards the planting kind of entrepreneurial element can go off in sort of one direction and plant again with the support of the team and taking other elders with them, while other elders are there left behind. And I think that's, I mean, like you were saying about the doing this in partnership. When I planted and when we planted Globe Church, I had so
Hope,
many.
Hope
sorry,
Church.
Hope Church.
Come on, get it right.
Hope Church, the lesser. we had so, like, I was constantly on the phone to you because you'd done this before. I hadn't done it before. You were a planter. I was learning to be a planter. But then you were also a pastor, so there was lots of pastoral advice that I went, and you were further down the line for me. You know, you planted at Bushell Park, you planted Globe Church by that stage, and so I needed you to sort of lean on because it was new to me, and that's where I guess the partnership was really helpful. I just think definitely doing these things in partnership is brilliant.
It does require lots of just humility. I mean, so in one sense, I feel like at Brixton Local Church before coming to the merge was a great example of that. Jason Merrin, I planted Brixton Local Church, and I don't know if there's anyone else that could have done that. I mean, he really planted it from scratch and just has the ability to do that kind of a thing. And yet, I think what was beautiful about it was being there and being part of the team was, again, his understanding of himself, what his strengths were, what his weaknesses are. And all of us, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses were. I think the challenge is that the current model is just, there's just one guy at the top.
Which means then
the church shares all the strengths and weaknesses of that one person. Whereas, if you have a genuine plurality, you really can play to each other's strengths. Yeah. Because let's say you have a planter and a pastor, if we're going to use that language, you can plant together. Then it's not even the case that the planter makes all the decisions in the first few years, because there's lots of decisions that actually have lots of pastoral implications. So it's just the humility to be able to work together and not to just have one person at the top who makes decisions, I think, can help people actually flourish in their own worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so in terms of tips for planting, and you know, as I look back on, so we planted two different congregations, leadership is key. Sometimes people think, oh, I need to have 30 people. You don't. You don't need 30 people. You do need leaders alongside you. So I think one of the things that makes a church plant viable is when you say we've got a plurality of elders. Not massive, but I'm not on my own in this leadership. If you've got that, go for it. You know, because actually the size of your team is far less significant than the size of your than the quality of your leadership.
And you really helped us with that, John T, when we started Hope Church. I keep wanting to plant Globe Church.
It's fine. Someone has to.
Because I remember the first thing you did is you got me and Kevin Croft, who was the LCM worker in Vauxhall at the time, you got us in a room together. And your basic message to us was like, no holds barred, just talk to each other. And if this doesn't work, if you don't get on together, you know, he was the LCM guy who had been part of the previous attempt at the church plant. I was coming in as a new guy. You were like, if you don't get on together, there's no point even starting to move forward with this. And that was really, really helpful. And then our gifts, mine and Kev's gifts, are so, so different to each other. And yet he was so important, and still is an elder at Hope Church, but in that particular period of time was so important. And it would have been impossible to have planted Hope Church without the partnership with Globe Church and without LCM and particularly Kev. And you know, he knew stuff that I didn't know. He had gifts that I didn't have, and that was so, so important. And then to kind of grow that again, so yeah, just and I mean, functionally he was kind of a lay elder. He was working for London City Mission, so he's still in Vauxhall at the same time. But yeah, it was a real gift to us.
But so I'd say all three of us have the same experience of needing someone in leadership who was humble enough to not to support. So at Globe, that was you, Trev. You were foundational at Globe of saying, I will be one of the elders. I don't want to lead. I don't want to preach. I'm not interested in that. I just want to support you. Your experience, Jay Mariner, is an amazing example, actually, of someone who planted a church. And actually, when you then joined the team, saw what God was doing and was humble enough to step back and say, Yannick, you take this, is clearly God's raised you up for this. You take it on. You know, and you with Kev standing behind you. Each of us have got people who could easily have said, no, I want to exert my leadership. But actually, each of us were enabled to lead by humble, godly men who stood behind us and said, we're with you.
And conversely to that is, this is where I think there's a resource that we don't always tap into, with older men and women being parts of church planting, you know, starting new churches or whatever, because very often they're at a stage where they don't actually want that kind of level of responsibility.
Yeah, totally.
They've done that, but they've got a real heart, and they've got just bring a wisdom that's necessary.
Yeah, and as I talk about men, you know, I'm talking about men because we're talking eldership here, but alongside the men, you have a godly group of senior women who again just pour themselves into this thing for no glory. You know, there's no glory in it. There's just a sacrificial, loving, serving Jesus.
I remember chatting to the guys at Bushill Park, which was the church that we were part of, that John T had planted up in Enfield. And there was an older couple who were part of Bushill Park who didn't want to join, didn't want to leave Enfield where they were, but they were living in Bushill Park. And I remember talking to them. They'd been members for a long time at that stage. The church was a few years old. But they just said, they felt like it was the right thing to do, even though they weren't massively keen on it, they weren't particularly excited about it. They were sad to leave a church they'd been part of for the whole of their lives. And yet they were so much of a blessing that, you know, they led the small group that I was part of in the church. They were just clearly so warm and loving, and they were in many ways more needed than your energetic young, more needed is a bit unfair, but as equally needed as your energetic young church planter type, who might say straight away, as soon as you mention church plant, their ears prick up, they want to get involved in it. Whereas these other guys who were really only involved in Bushill Park because they happened to live, you know, annoyingly for them, they happened to live in exactly the area it was being planted, they had to go. That's essentially what they said, we have to go. And yet the blessing that they were, and I wonder whether that often gets really missed.
Guys, our time has gone.
Can I say one final piece, because I think it would be wrong not to mention it, is that I think each of us would also say that our wives played a key part in that. And I, you know, not just in a supportive role, but in wisdom, leadership, ideas, sacrifice. You know, in many ways, it's easy for us. We sit here and people go, oh, this is the Church of John. I didn't plant.
We throw things all the way, always past our wives, that back and forth.
You know, if it hadn't been for Linda, there's no way that Globe Church would have been planted. And so I think it's just, you know, anyway, sorry, Trev, you were finishing.
Important point to end on. Thank you, John T. Thank you.